Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew? Chapter 9, we begin with verse 35. We will not be able to read the whole chapter 10, so we will pick a few verses afterwards. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went round all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every bodily weakness. But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were harassed and cast away as sheep not having a shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, "The harvest is great, and the workmen are few. Supplicate therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth workmen unto his harvest." Chapter 10, verse 1. And having called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Verse 8. Second part. Ye have received gratuitously, give gratuitously. Verse 16. Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore prudent as the serpents, and guileless as the doves. Verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all on account of my name, but he that has endured to the end, he shall be saved. Verse 24. The disciple is not above his teacher, nor the bondman above his Lord. Verse 32. Everyone therefore who shall confess me before man, I also will confess him before my Father who is in the heavens. Verse 38. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 40. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Let us look to the Lord. Our Father, we do praise and thank thee for giving thy only begotten Son to us. We do praise and thank thee that thou dost allow us to know him, and to know him is eternal life. We praise and thank thee that this morning we were gathered together. We can gather together to remember him. We do take him as our all. We thank thee for this time that we may read thy word. We ask that thou will breathe upon thy word and make it living and operative in our lives, that thou mayst be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God we have been gathering here the last few days. The purpose of our being gathered together is that we may know our Master, and we may allow our Master to reproduce his own image in us, and to get things done through us. One is your Master, the Christ. We have such a wonderful Master, so skillful, so able, that even though we are not very good materials, and yet he has chosen us and is able to make us vessels fit for the Master's use. He calls us, "Come after me, I will make you fishers of men." come after me. The first thing is to come to Him. The first thing is to be with Him. The first thing is to allow Him to work His own character into our lives. And then, there is a work to be done. Fishers of men. May we say it is evangelism. Bringing people to the Lord, our Master. After our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, one day in the early morning, some of the disciples were fishing, and the Lord appeared on the shore. And you remember the story. After these disciples gathered around Him and having their breakfast, the Lord began to ask Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? And when Peter answered, Lord, thou knowest, I'm attached to you. I really have a feeling towards you. And the Lord said, feed my lamb. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Here you find the Lord is re-establishing a relationship. That the relationship of Peter and the Lord might be restored. It is a relationship of love. Unless we have a right relationship with our Lord, the Lord is not able to commit any work to us. But if our relationship with the Lord is right, that is, if we do love Him, even though we recognize how weak and feeble is our love, not very long ago Peter experienced the weakness of his love in denying the Lord. And yet deep down within him there is a feeling towards the Lord, attachment to the Lord. And with that, the Lord said, feed my sheep. Now may we say, feed the lamb, tend the sheep, and feed the sick sheep. It is the work of building up the body of Christ. In a sense, you find the work of the Lord has two different areas. One area is to be fishers of men, to draw the net, to get the fishes in. And the other is, after they have come to the Lord and become lamb and sheep, then the work is to feed them, to take care of them, to build up the body of Christ. And that is service. So brothers and sisters, we are called to the Lord to have a new character develop in us, the character of Christ. We are called by the Lord to build up a right relationship with Him, and of course with one another too. And after that character is being developed and our relationship is being adjusted, then you'll find there is a service that we are called to do. Every brother and sister who is saved is saved to serve. There is no one that can be idle. But the thing is, before we can really serve, whether in the Lord's work or whether in the church, in your local assembly. We need to have our character developed. We need to have our relationship adjusted. And furthermore, we need to be trained by our master for the service. Now, it is true. The moment you are saved is the very moment that you need to bear witness for the Lord. I do thank the Lord when I was saved back in 1930. The one who led me to Christ was a very wise man. And after the Lord saved me, that man told me right away, he said, you go out, find someone, and tell them how the Lord saved you. So our witnessing for the Lord should start immediately after we are saved. Do not wait. The longer you wait, the more difficult to open your mouth. It is true that as soon as we are saved, we should testify to the greatness of His salvation. We shall bear witness to our Savior. That is true. But on the other hand, to be really involved in His work, to really serve Him, we do need some training. Why? Because God's work is so different from the work of man. Unless we are trained by Him for service, our service may not be acceptable to Him, may not be right. Look at the history of the 12. You remember our Lord Jesus came out when He was 30 years old. After He was baptized, He was walking by. And John the Baptist saw Him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And two of His disciples went off to follow the Lord. The Lord turned and said, what do you want? And I always feel this is the strangest question or the answer or the request. When the Lord said, what do you want? They said, where do you live? They want to know where the Lord lives. Now what does it mean? It means that they want to live with Him. So the Lord said, come and see. So these two men went and lived with the Lord, maybe overnight, and their life was transformed. And they began to bring their own brothers to the Lord. And according to the record of John chapter 1, we find there was Andrew, there was Simon, and there was John, and most likely He brought His brother James to the Lord. And then the Lord found out Philip. And Philip found out Nathanael. And in the beginning you find a few came to the Lord. They accompanied the Lord sometimes when He traveled around. Especially during those days, we find that our Lord, when He traveled in Judea, and His traveling in Judea was not recorded in any other gospel but the Gospel of John. And according to John's record, you'll find that the Lord did have some disciples with Him at that time. They were with Him at the feast, marriage feast of Cana. They saw the glory of the Lord for the first time and they believed in Him. But their traveling with the Lord was an occasional thing, off and on thing. And 6 months later, John the Baptist was put in prison. And after John the Baptist was put in prison, the Lord commenced his work in Galilee. But at the beginning of his work, he began to call some to be with him all the time. He passed by the Sea of Tiberias, and he saw Simon and his brother. They were there drying the net. So he said, come after me. I will make you fishers of men. So they left the net and followed the Lord. And he went onward and saw the two sons of Zebedee. They were mending the net. And the Lord said, come after me. They left the net, they left the boat, they left the father and the companions and followed the Lord. And later on we find he saw Matthew at the customs. And he said, come after me. And Matthew left the custom and followed him. So there you will find he gathered around him some people who traveled with him all the time. They spend their time with him day and night. They were with him. They saw what he did. They heard what he said. And after our Lord had traveled in Upper and Lower Galilee quite extensively, he began to choose among his disciples 12 to be with him and to be sent out as his representatives. He trained them. Before he sent them out. And even when he sent them out, he sent them out step by step. First he said, just go to the house of Israel. Don't go to any Gentile cities. Stick with the house of Israel. And then you remember, after he was raised from the dead, he said, go. Disciple all nations. Begin with Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And within 30 years after, 30 some years after his resurrection, the world, known at that time, was conquered by the gospel. That is the way that the work was done. So dear brothers and sisters, we are called. We are called to service. Whether the service is more local in nature, or it is wider than the local, nevertheless, it is God's work, God's service. And in order to do that, we need our Master to train us. I would like to go back a little bit. In the training for the service, you will find, first of all, the same thing, the same principle. First of all, you have to be with him. Abiding is the first principle of discipleship. Whether it is in the area of character, in the area of relationship, or in the area of service. If we really want to serve him, the foremost thing that we must have, and that is, we must be with him. We must abide in Him. We must make our home in Him. If we do not make our home in Him, if our life with the Lord is just a kind of occasional thing, brothers and sisters, He will not be able to train us for service. He needs you to be with Him all the time. Then He will be able to train you for service. So this is, again, the first principle. And then the second one is still the same. The way He is training you for service is by seeing and hearing. He does not just send you to a school and just study some books, listen to some lectures. He gathers you around Himself as apprentices. He Himself is to be your master. You are to be with Him to watch Him, to hear whatever He says, and to observe whatever He does, at any time, at any place. No time limit, no space limitation, but you find He is training you day and night all the time through seeing and hearing. In this matter of service, you have to watch Him. If you do not watch Him, if you do not hear Him and see Him doing things, dear brothers and sisters, what will be your service? You will be doing something that He has never done. You will be saying something that He has never said. In other words, you will be doing a work very different from His. So in the area of service, brothers and sisters, you must watch Him. See how He does things. What things did He do? What did He say? And how did He say these things? And it is through seeing and hearing we learn in the area of service. He set examples for us. It is not a modern type of education. It is an old type of education, apprenticeship. And of course, as we mentioned before, even though our Lord Jesus is not physically here with us, but He is with us as our master, our teacher, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, will teach us in all things. He will take the things of Christ and show us. He will remind us of what our Lord Jesus has said. And as we live and walk very closely with the Lord, then we will hear and we will see. And this is the way that we learn in the area of service. Number three. In the area of service, the process of learning is again the same. Unlearn and learn. And as a matter of fact, unlearning probably is more difficult than learning. It may take more time to unlearn than to learn. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the Lord, as we are called to serve, you know, we carry with us lots of our old concepts. We do not come with an open mind. We come with a prejudiced mind, preconceived mind. We have all our concepts about what service is, what God's work is. We know what to do. We know what needs to be done. And because we come with our mind full of concepts, We have to earn them. Look at Moses. It took him 40 years to learn all the wisdom of Egypt. And he took me another 40 years to learn all he had learned. What is God's work? Do we know what is God's work? What is the nature of God's work? Does God have many works? Or does He do only one work? Since the time He created man. What is God's work? Brothers and sisters, how we work for God instead of doing God's work. We are so busily occupied working for God. I remember even before I was saved, I worked for God. I was so grateful to God because He healed my sickness. I was dying and He healed me. I didn't know Him. Only with my traditional teaching, I knew that He must be God. So I want to show my gratitude, pay my debt to Him. I didn't know that His grace is so big that I just cannot pay it. But I try to pay it. And the way to pay it is work for Him. How we work for Him, but are we doing His work? What is the nature of God's work? Is it earthly or is it heavenly? Is it physical or is it spiritual? How do you do God's work? Do you do God's work by just having a brilliant idea and then try to put all your natural strength into it and to push it through, make it work? Is this the way that God's work is to be done? Is this the way to serve God? Brothers and sisters, we have lots of concepts in our mind. And all these concepts need to be unlearned. It takes time. It's a process. You remember even with the disciples, when they were with the Lord Jesus, they had a concept of what the Lord should do. Their concept was just a Jewish concept of the Messiah. The disciples were not delivered from that concept, even to the very end. Why did they quarrel among themselves? Who was the greater one? Why is it that when our Lord Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the last time, well, John and James got frightened? Why? Because, well, that's the last chance. The Lord was going to Jerusalem to get His kingdom, to set up the Messianic kingdom. Now do something. The time is urgent. So they got their mother out and tried to help them to get to sit on the right and on the left. Why? The whole concept is the Lord came to set up the Messianic kingdom. That is the work that the Lord should do. The Jews expected Him to do that work. And when the Lord didn't do that, they rejected Him. But the disciples that were with Him were not delivered from that concept. Even after the Lord was resurrected and He was going to be ascended, you know what they asked? Is this the time you want to restore the nation of Israel? That should be your work. But the Lord said, no, the time is in my Father's hand. Go and witness for me. How many concepts, old concepts we have in our mind as to God's work, His service. Dear brothers and sisters, unless we unlearn all these old concepts and begin to receive new concepts through revelation, He will reveal His concept to us as to what His work really is, the nature, how to do it. We are not able to be used of God in the area of service. We need to unlearn old concepts and learn new concepts. Not only our concept, but our attitude. You know, when we come to the Lord and we are very zealous to get into work, now what is our attitude? We have our old attitude with us. When people began to bring little children to the Lord, look at the attitude of the disciples. They forbade them. They said, take these children away. Our master has no time for the children. Take them away. These children are too insignificant. And our Lord Jesus reproached them and said, now suffer little children to come to me, for theirs, thus, is the kingdom of heavens. Attitude. Brothers and sisters, what is our attitude towards service? Is our attitude something that we find in us? Well, this is a great work. I'm doing something that is really important, that is really great. Now, if it is just a matter of helping a few children, well, that's below my dignity. That is something I cannot do. What is our attitude towards work? I believe it seems to be strange, but you know, in the last feast, Passover feast, our Lord Jesus sent two disciples to prepare the place for their last Passover feast together. And the room was ready. Everything was ready. The food was ready. Basin, towel, water, everything. But no maid. No maid. Usually when people come, you know, to your house, because they wear sandals, and they do not have these modern roads, it's all dirt road. So when guests come to your house, the first thing to do is, you have a maid at the door and will wash your feet before you recline to eat. Now, if your feet are dirty, well, you don't feel comfortable and you will not enjoy the feast. So the first thing to do is to have your feet washed. But strange to say, that day, that night, when the disciples entered into that room that was ready, everything was ready, but there was no maid, no slave girl there, waiting at the door to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, I believe everybody went in and felt uncomfortable. Everybody would say, well, why is it? Why is it? Wonder. Why is it there was no one washing feet? But nobody thought of doing it. It's below their dignity. That's not the work they are called to do. So very reluctantly and unhappily, they all began to take their seat and recline there. And suddenly the Lord got up, took off His garment, girded Himself with a towel, poured water in the basin, and started to wash the disciples' feet. That's the attitude. Our attitude towards God's work in service needs to be unlearned and to learn new attitude. Not only attitude, methods, ways. When we came to the Lord to serve Him, we have many ways and many methods. In a sense, you know, we are very ingenious. We really can invent things in the service of God. But His ways are different from our ways. You remember that occasion when so many people were gathered there and they had nothing to eat? So they came to the Lord and said, now we are in a desert place. Why don't you just send them back to these villages to buy food so that they can get something to eat? Now that is their way. Sending people away. But the Lord said, no. Feed them. Feed them. But they said, how can we feed them? Are you doing it in a natural way? Or do you discover the supernatural way? His way is different from our ways. We need to unlearn all our old ways and learn His ways. So you find that in the area of service, you have to go through training to unlearn what you already have and to learn what He is going to teach you. Now, unless we are open to that, there is no way to serve the Lord. I think we can learn something from the way that our Lord trained His own disciples, as we find in the Gospels. We can see the principles regarding service. And I would like to use Matthew chapter 10, and maybe you can add Luke 10 to it. Because in Matthew chapter 10, you'll find our Lord Jesus called the 12 to Him. And then He sent them out to work, to service. And He gave them certain principles to guide them. And then in Luke chapter 10, you find the Lord sends out 70 afterwards. When the Lord realized that His days were approaching, that is, He wouldn't have much time to work anymore. And there was such much more work to do. So He asked 70. He called 70 and sent them out two by two to cover all these villages and places that He will go Himself. And that is Luke chapter 10. So you'll find that in these two chapters, the Lord sent out workmen and he gave them some guidelines, some principles concerning service. So let's learn something from it. First of all, you find that in chapter 9 of Matthew. Now we must remember that when the Bible was written, you do not have these chapter divisions. So sometimes when you divide them into chapters, you may lose the continuity of thought. So actually you'll find we should begin with chapter 9, verse 36. And when the Lord saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were harassed and cast away as sheep not having a shepherd. Then said He to His disciples, the harvest is great and the workmen few. Supplicate therefore the Lord of the harvest that He send forth workmen unto His harvest. So far as God's work is concerned, whether it is local or extra-local, whether it is serving in the local assembly or whether it is serving in the field of ministry, you find, first of all all God's work must be initiated by the Lord. The Lord initiates His work. If we initiate anything, this is our work. How do we know whether we are doing God's work or whether we are doing our work? Whether we are serving God with our work or we are doing God's own work? First of all, you'll find it is decided by who initiated. All the services of God are initiated by the Lord Himself. The Lord saw the multitudes. His compassion was towards them. He saw that these people were like sheep without shepherd, perished. Therefore, He told the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workmen are few. Pray to the Lord of harvest that He will send out workmen to His harvest. In other words, the Lord has a burden, and He shared that burden with His disciples. He said, the harvest is great. Brothers and sisters, to begin with, we need vision. We need vision in the service of God. We need to see what our Lord sees. That is vision. Vision is seeing what the Lord sees. The Lord shares what He sees with us, and that becomes a vision to us. We cannot serve God without vision. Why? Because it is not just doing something. It is not even just to get a work done. We need to see what the Lord sees. What the Lord sees. What is He burdened with? What does the Lord want to do? That is something that we must see. You know, dear brothers and sisters, in the area of service, the greatest lack is vision. Lots of people are active. We are involved in many activities. We may be very zealously doing it, and we are doing it with all our strength. We really put ourselves in it. But dear brothers and sisters, we do not have vision. We do not see what He sees. We do not really know what is it that the Lord really wants. Even before the foundation of the world, even God created anything, God has a plan, a purpose. He has a work to do. And it is according to that eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus that He created. It is according to that eternal purpose that He sent His Son into this world to finish, to do the work of redemption. The Lord Jesus said, my Father has worked until now, and I work. The Father has been working, the Son has been working, the Holy Spirit is working, and the Triune God is working with one work. They are doing one work. Not many works. This work has many, many different aspects, many different areas, that's true, but only one work. He's doing one work. to sum up all things in Christ. He is only doing one work. To give His Son a body, a bride, to share with His Son all things that He has given to His Son. That is the work. We need vision. We need to see what God really wants. And unless we have that vision, and with that vision comes the need. The harvest is great, but the workmen are few. Brothers and sisters, our problem is we are governed by needs, not by vision. All we see is need. And we try to supply the need. We are like little children. You know, their attention, their concentration is so short-lived. They cannot concentrate for long. You know, a child, he will be affected by this thing for a minute, and the next minute he is affected by another thing. Now, we are like children. In God's service, we are like children. Driven by needs. We see the need here, well, we jump in, try to fill the need, and even before that need is met, we realize there's another need there, and off we go to that another need. That's the way we serve. Now, in the service of God, first of all, we need vision. What is it that God really wants to do? And you can break it down. What is it that the Lord wants you to do in His overall work? Then secondly, when you see, then the need is evident. The harvest is great. First of all, the Lord has a harvest. He has a harvest. It is His harvest. He wants to harvest to gather in for His purpose. But the workmen are few. The need is tremendous. The need is in relation to the harvest, to the vision. Not as an independent thing, isolated things, no. It is related to that vision. Now you see the need. What do you do? Do you just rush in and try to supply the need? No. The Lord said, the harvest is great, the workmen are few. Now what do? Supplicate the Lord of the harvest. Now don't just go and do something. Pray. Pray. You supplicate the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord to do something about it. Ask the Lord to raise up workmen, to send out workmen. In other words, He has shared His vision with you. He has shared His burden with you. Not that you are able to discharge His burden. Far from it. Now that's our problem. We think that we are able to discharge God's burden. We are to help God out of His burden. Who are we? He doesn't expect us to do that. He knows that we cannot do it. All He asks us to do is, if we are burdened with His burden and we begin to see what He really wants, pray, supplicate the Lord of the harvest. Lord, you have to do something for yourself. If this is what you want, and there is such a tremendous need here. Now you have to do something about it. Now this is the mercy of God. You know, God can do things by Himself, but He wouldn't. He wants your cooperation. And all that you can do in that cooperation is, when He shared His burden with you, you discharge that burden by prayer, not by doing something. You supplicate the Lord of the harvest. Dear brothers and sisters, is this the way that we enter into service? How many works are done because we see the need? We do not pray, but we just go and do them. Let's give ourselves to prayer. Supplicate the Lord of the harvest to send our workmen for His harvest. And strange enough, those who supplicate most likely will be those sent out. He called His disciples to supplicate, and then in chapter 10, He sent them out. So first of all, the first principle in the service of God is, it has to be initiated by the Lord. Because it is His service. His work, His harvest. And it has to come through prayer. He has to send you out. You do not just go out yourself. He has to send you out. Number two. And having called to Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power. In other words, He empowered them. He not only initiated it, but He empowered them. Brothers and sisters, what is the power of service? With what do we serve? We often hear people say, well, and as a matter of fact, that is what is commonly done. After a person is saved, immediately you are exhorted to serve God. Now, how do you serve God? Serve God with your talents. Serve God with your experience. Serve God with whatever you already have. Consecrate your talents to Him and consecrate your experience to Him and use Him in the service of God. So we encourage all these big executives of the corporation to the elders. If you can govern a corporation, wow, to govern a church with a few hundred people, that's nothing. How we serve God with our natural ability and power. Brothers and sisters, Moses is a good example. He was powerful, mighty in words and in deeds. So mighty he could beat an Egyptian to death. So mighty in words, he could try to reconcile two, but he failed. God had no need of your natural abilities. In His work, no need. He has to empower. At His ascension, He told His disciples, go back to Jerusalem. Wait until you receive the power from on high. And then you go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. So when the disciples began to be engaged in the service of God. They did it in the power that came from on high, not on their own. They will never be able to conquer the world within 30 years in a generation. 12 unknown people. If they depended upon their natural energy and natural power. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, in the service of God, we should be so afraid, so fearful, of anything that is our own. We should be afraid of our own ideas, our own concepts, our own opinions, of our own talents, of our own powers, of our own experience. We should be fearful of these things. Why? Because these things will interfere with the service of God, not helping, but destroying. But unfortunately, that is not the way we think. How many works are done in the name of the Lord, but by man's own power? It is as if we will make it work. We do it for Him. But one day, you will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in thy name? Did we not preach the gospel? Did we not do this and do that? And these things were done successfully. The Lord said, workers of evil, I do not know you. Depart from me. Power and power by the Lord. Now, I do not mean that your natural talents or your past experience are really useless. In one sense, they are. If you depend on these things to serve God, you will be rejected completely. But if you allow these things to go through death, and in resurrection, the Lord can use them. But not you use them. The Lord used them. That's the difference. Thirdly, ye have received gratuitously, give gratuitously. Freely receive. Freely give. In the service of God, the whole principle is the principle of grace. We receive freely. He gives us freely. Therefore, let us give freely. There is no sense of anything deserved. No sense of anything as if it is ours. But remember, when we are in the service of God, when we are serving Him in whatever capacity it may be, we have freely received. Let us freely give. There is nothing that is not received. That is the reason why there's nothing to boast of. If the Lord is able to use us, use you in any capacity, whether it is in the area of the ministry of the word, it is given to you freely. You do not pay anything for it. It is the Lord's. And because it is freely given to you, give it freely to others. There is absolutely no merit in you. And nothing to boast of. Because if it does not give, You have nothing to receive, and you have nothing to give. And if he has given you, freely give out. Do not keep it within you. It is not for your own sake. It is for the sake of the body of Christ. So the principle in service is freely receive, freely give. And of course, if you haven't received anything, then you are not able to give anything. So we need to learn to receive. Be open to the Lord. So open that He is able to pour out to you. And after He has poured into you, give it out freely. Look at Apostle Paul. How he gave out freely. He told the Ephesian believers that he does not keep back anything that is profitable for them, but the whole counsel of God as it is revealed to him. So brothers and sisters, the principle of service is freely receive, freely give. Ministry, service is never for sale. Because it is not yours. You receive it freely, so you have to give it freely. But people will ask, if that is the case, where comes the support? The Lord sent the disciples out and said, freely receive, freely give. Do not charge for entrance fee. Do not charge for admission fee to a lecture. $5,000 a lecture. Freely receive, freely give. And what about the support? Well, if He sends you, He supplies you. You are employed by Him, not by men. So go to your employer and look for your support. It is true He will use His people to support you. But if His people do not, He will send ravens to you. Number four. He said, I sent you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore prudent as the serpents and guileless as the doves. When He sent us into His service, brothers and sisters, remember one thing. You will have a difficult time. You know, our idea is, if we work in any service in the world, you have problems, you have difficulties, you know? But if you are engaged in the work of God, my, you have no difficulty, you have no problems. So people like to work for God. You have an easier life. Well, don't be deceived. The Lord said, I sent you out as sheep among the wolves. You will have problems. Lots of difficulties. It's not an easy thing. In the service of God, is never easy. Brothers and sisters, in the church, we think that in the world, of course, the world, lots of problems there. But in the church, well, that should be like paradise. Well, if you have been with your brothers and sisters in the real sense of church life, what do you find? Maybe in your office, you'll find lots of misunderstanding, lots of difficulties. Now you're serving the church, serving your brothers and sisters. You'll find they are more difficult than the people in the world. You will be misunderstood. You will be despised. You will be demanded to do things that they have no right to demand that. They will step upon you. They did not appreciate you. Sometimes they even persecute you. Now be ready for that. In the service of God, this is something we have to be prepared for. If you do not want to have such problems, do not serve. Better to be served than to serve. And when you are being served, you can criticize. When you serve, you will be criticized. So the prudent will rather be served than to serve. And how many brothers and sisters are so clever? As you enter into the service of the Lord, be prepared to be misunderstood. Be prepared to be unjustly treated. Be prepared to be stepped on. Unless we are ready to do that, better not serve. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Number 5, in serving, there's one thing we need to avoid, and that is the fear of man. In verse 28, be not afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But fear rather him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, of course, I know there are different interpretations. But my own understanding is, the one that we really need to fear is the Lord himself. We are serving him. And because we are serving him, he is the one whom we fear. Aside from him, we should not fear of anything, of anybody. You know, the fear of man is a great temptation in the service of God. Paul said, am I to please man or am I to please God? If I'm to please man, then I'm not a servant of God. Oftentimes in service, there is a tremendous temptation to please man. And as you want to please man, you have to compromise. You have to do things that you know that shouldn't be done, or even not to do things that should be done. Say things that you shouldn't say, or say things that you should say, and you don't say it. Because you try to please man. The fear of man. No. In the service of the Lord, we only want to please our Lord, to fear him. And we know that he will take care of us. Even two sparrows stole from a father, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. And of you, even the hairs of the head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. In other words, be faithful. Do not be afraid. The Lord will take care of you. And then in verse 38, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Sometimes we think that probably it is in the area of life that we need the operation of the cross. But here you are told it is in the area of service. In the area of service, we need the working of the cross in our lives. Unless we are willing to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord, there is no way to serve. I'm sorry, I've over. The time is already over. Let me conclude it. And finally, the Lord said, he that receives you, receives me. He that receives me, receives my Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you are sent out by the Lord to serve, whether it is in a local assembly or whether it is in the work, it is true that you will meet many problems, hardship, difficulties. You have to take up your cross to follow the Lord in the area of service. And yet, there is one comfort, and that is, you are his representatives. Whoever receives you, receives the Lord. And whoever receives the Lord, receives the Father who sends him. We are ambassadors of Christ. Whatever service we are involved with, remember, we represent Christ. We do not represent ourselves. We represent Christ. And because we represent Christ, whoever receives us, receives Christ. As those who receive Christ receive the Father. So may the Lord show us that in this matter of service, how we need our Master to train us. And thank God we have a wonderful Master. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee because Thou hast given Christ, Thy Son, to us as our Master. All we need to do is to commit ourselves to Him, and He will make us what You want us to be and to do. So Lord, take us in Thy hand and do all the works that are necessary, that we may be able to serve Thee and to serve our brothers and sisters and even the world. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.